Hi, welcome to Redwood Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kirk.
This week on Redwood Wonk, we're discussing Trump's awful 2 weeks, Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship, which is now in front of the Supreme Court, and finally, the Posse Comitatus Act, where it states the United States military cannot be used on domestic soil.
Okay, well, we're talking national news of the day, and what's our first topic, Matt? You kind of chose the topics this week, so.
The first topic is Trump's awful 2 weeks.
The whole what do you mean by that?
Let's start with the war in Ukraine. He was going to end day one in office. It seemed that Zelensky, who wasn't holding any cards, figured out how to use drones to take out long-range bombers from hundreds of miles away. So now Zelensky holds the cards. Putin responded by killing Ukraine's civilians. So Trump is not doing anything to stop the war in Ukraine. Number two, the war in Gaza rages on. Trump said he was going to stop the war in Gaza day one. He has zero control over Israel right now. And that war is it's going to keep raging. Second, his negotiations with China have gone nowhere. China's President Xi just basically looks at Trump and just laughs and says, you need our products more than we need your products. So yeah, we'll stick this out a lot longer. His big ugly bill, someone actually read it finally, and they realized there's things inside this bill that are awful. Suddenly now the cuts to Medicaid are coming out. The cuts to food stamps, aka SNAP, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, is coming out. And some of the other senators actually read, there's a line in there that says Trump gets immunity from any court, which means basically he can break any law, forget the our first 10 amendments in our Constitution. Trump could do whatever the hell he wants. The courts can't stop him. So finally, someone's telling the truth out there. And then ultimately, Elon Musk and him got in a spat. And Elon threw out, why haven't you released the Epstein report that you said you're going to release day one in office? Maybe your name's in there. And Trump didn't like the fact that he may have been with underage women back in the day and they know it. That would be very bad.
It definitely was not good. And some of Trump's supporters are taking comfort in the fact that, well, it was worse for Musk. And it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it was worse for. It was bad. And you know, with a lot of the MAGA people pushing Epstein, and now every time they do, because they've been saying, well, why won't Trump release all of the records? So obviously there's stuff missing, and now they can't say it without this question being raised. A lot of them forget, and I've had discussions with them, they seem to think that Biden or Obama were president when he died. And it's like, no. Yeah, Trump was in charge of the federal prison system when he died. I'm sorry, you know, that is the truth. It's like, well, Clinton must have had, you know, some influence or something. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, if this was a conspiracy, the only one with the power and opportunity to have done it was Trump. Sorry, you know, and it's just unless there's a deep state. You know, conspiracy thing, but it's just apparently the deep state is still going. But so now that's it. I don't know that they can, that MAGA could do anything. I think they're just going to have to, in Orwellian fashion, just give up on the whole Epstein narrative.
The other thing we failed to talk about, or I failed to mention, was tariffs.
Yeah.
Trump is changing his mind. Now he came out and said, I'm going to come out with unilateral tariffs in 2 more weeks. And we're like, the whole business community, especially around the world, is looking at the United States going, what the hell happened to you? You used to be the country of stability. Now they're looking elsewhere. There's a word out there on Wall Street called deleveraging, that other countries, sovereign nations, are selling off U.S. bonds and selling off U.S. stocks, not heavily, but just selling off some because they don't trust us anymore. We're no longer the leaders of the free world.
And, of course, his wavering on the tariffs has led to the nickname acronym TACO, which has actually gotten under his skin,
right?
Because it stands for Trump always
chickens out.
Yeah, and there's memes galore about it.
Yeah, so Donnie's Taco.
Right. I mean, so yeah, no, it has not been a good few weeks. He's still doing fine in the polls, fine being he has his 43 to 47% support, and 45 to 55% disapproval, which is what he's had since 2016. It's always the same thing. He gets enough people to get elected, but we'll talk about it more in the third segment, though. He may be losing some support right now because of stuff going on in Los Angeles, but we'll talk about that, a recent poll. But I mean, you've got other things that have not been going right. We want to talk a little bit about Ukraine because, yeah, here we talked about this last week and then about this incredible operation that Ukraine pulled off. I mean, just
They took
mind-blowing.
$5,000 drone, sent them a few hundred miles away, and took out $5 million bombers, if not
In
$50
four
million
regions,
bombers.
in four regions of Russia, and they had to smuggle them in these makeshift, I think they made them look like cabins or something. The roofs would come off, and everybody who was involved got out. I mean, none of them were arrested or captured. That's phenomenal. Phenomenal. It also has some experts thinking there may have been Russians involved. I mean,
One caveat there, Eric. The crazy thing about when they use soft technology to do something like this, I guarantee there's radicals in Muslim countries right now who are looking at this going, okay, we haven't done anything special since 9/11, but what if we took drones and took out American bombers on the Turkey bases?
No,
And
everybody's mobile forces are vulnerable to this.
exactly.
This could change warfare in general.
It
This is,
already has, yes. When you have a $5,000 drone taking out a $90 million tank and doing
I
it
think
over and
it's
over and over.
$500 drones. I mean, it's it's really it doesn't cost much to make them, and it's and yeah, they took out like possibly over 40 planes
Not one day,
confirmed.
right? But
Yeah, I,
for Russia, the numbers I'm hearing is they've had casualties of nearly 1 million.
yeah.
I think Russia's casualties in Afghanistan in a how long were they in Afghanistan? I want to say 1980 till I want to say
About 8 years, something.
8 years. They had 50,000 casualties in 8 years. Russia's now had nearly 1 million casualties in 3 years in Ukraine. The other problem is Russian young men are bailing out of Russia so they don't get drafted. They call it conscript. And then the other problem they're having is the young men who do go, they're going into the army and getting slaughtered. So Russia's going to have a problem here with their birth rate real soon because the young men are either dead or out of Russia. And at some point, you need to keep your country going with people.
Yeah, I mean, right, and also a young workforce. I mean, you got a
You have
lot
to.
of issues there. No, it's no, and so Trump is like saying, well, maybe I'll just let them, fight for a while. But you'll let them?
He
You
doesn't have a
don't have
choice.
any power in this.
He has
It's
zero
just
control.
no. He has no control over Putin. Putin is doing what he wants, and quite frankly, the Zelensky is just not taking him seriously. I mean, after that whole fiasco in the White House, which was just absolutely where Zelensky realized he's not dealing with grown-ups. I think he just went. He went back, and he said he needs the United States assistance, but he's not counting on it.
Right. He'll have to go kiss his ass and get what he needs and the
Right.
game. Have to play the game.
I mean, they're and I think they're basically like you said about the tariffs. I think they're looking elsewhere too. I mean, the Europeans are coming up. It looks like Sweden is going to help them modernize their MiG fleet. They've lost three of the F-16s that we sent them so far. One just recently after a dogfight in which that F-16 took out three enemy. I'm not sure what, but so it's just whether using them to defend the country. But it's, again, Zelensky, they didn't have to drive the forces out. What they have to do is outlast, which is basically what Vietnam did to us. They didn't have to push us out. They just had to outlast our will.
Right. You know? Exactly. How many men do you want to die? How many men are you willing to sacrifice?
And how much money do you want to spend?
And when are the mothers going to stand up to Putin saying enough's enough?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they've tried. They tried early on. There was anti-war opposition, but they were crushed. They were arrested. But it's bound to start again in more subtle ways. You know,
The other thing I want to bring up with Trump and Elon, the joke is it's the world's wealthiest man taking on the world's most powerful man. Something's going to give. It's like the two big dogs in a kennel or the two tough guys in a high school gymnasium going at it. And I think Elon Musk has, I don't know how many, 20, 40, $50 billion of government contracts.
Yeah.
Trump could give him the nuclear scenario and just pull all his government contracts, and he can go into Starlink and say, we're going to nationalize it and roll it into NASA.
He can do a lot of that stuff, and he's threatening to do these consequences if Musk backs any Democratic candidates, financially anyways. But, you know, there are some problems to that. For one thing, generally speaking, you can't unilaterally pull out of a contract. That, you know, a contract is a contract. That's why you sign it. That means you're bound to it, right? Unless there's some type of violating it, and giving money to a Democrat is probably not in the contract, you know, that's a violation of that contract. And the other thing is there, again, the courts are starting to hold in some of these cases, no, you need an act from Congress to be able to do some of these things.
And he still refuses to do that. Everything's by executive order.
Yeah.
No. Congress does not write laws. This Congress is the worst Congress in my lifetime, probably.
No. The one bill that they're trying to get through, they can't seem to get through, and they're probably going to have a real hard time getting through. And that was one of the sore points between Musk and Trump, because he hates this bill.
And Musk came out and said, you're going to add $2 to $3 trillion to the deficit. You're doing the exact opposite you said you're going to do.
Yeah.
And then Marjorie Taylor Greene came out against the bill. She said, yes, I voted for it. But then I finally read it. So everyone started laughing, going, maybe you should read it beforehand. Well, I didn't have time to read 983 pages in 2 hours. But that's what Mike Johnson did as Speaker of the House. Hey, here's almost 1,000-page bill. We're voting on it in 2 hours. Good luck. Bye.
Yeah. Apparently, the rift between Musk and Trump started when Trump pulled back a nominee that he had.
And also he's pulling back his EV credits, federal credits.
Yeah,
and that's how Musk sells his cars. If he doesn't have those EV credits, he's got a problem.
Right. And now he says he wants to get rid of his Tesla. I love Tesla.
Cybertruck sales are down another 50% in the
U.S. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what Musk was thinking of, because it's, you know, it's liberals that mostly buy them, because conservatives, or at least MAGA people, don't buy electric cars because electric cars are evil, right? And so and it's kind of funny online, because all these conservatives are angry that liberals aren't buying Musk's cars.
Well, they can go buy them.
Well, yeah, exactly. You go buy them then. It's just it is what it is. Musk today said, "Oh, maybe I went too far on the Epstein thing," but he didn't say it's not true. He just said, maybe I went too far, and Trump was asked what how's the feud going? And he said, oh, it's going fine. What does that mean? Yeah, I mean,
that's the whole reason why we have troops here. So we take our attention off of Elon. Let's look at L.A.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I mean, it certainly takes it off of talking about Epstein. I mean, we definitely don't want to be talking about Epstein. But as we'll get to in the third segment, he probably doesn't want to be talking about L.A. too much this time anymore. And we will definitely get into that. But go ahead.
I found it amazing that the two of them are carrying on like junior high kids, airing their whole dispute out in public on Twitter, or I'm not calling it X, on Twitter or on Truth Social. Mm-hmm. Instead of just picking up the phone and talking to each other, it's just, but that's the level of, that's the type of candidate they elected.
Yeah. And sooner or later, Democrats, if they ever pull anything together, are going to point out that Biden had negotiated a ceasefire between Israel and Gaza. They were in process, and it's fallen apart, partly because of neglect, partly because Trump went in and said stupid things about turning it into a resort area.
No, the Riviera.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you know, completely took sides and you know, can't broker anything. It's just, it's he doesn't have finesse. That's, you know, that's just, and his people don't have it. And the people he's got in there are religious fanatics that want to see the third temple built to bring the end times. I mean, so it's just, it's just not a good combo for him. So yeah, he didn't end either war in a day. He's not going to end them at all anytime soon. And you know, what is he? He's probably behind the scenes, trying to push Zelensky into giving up the territory that Russia currently holds, and that's not an option,
right?
You know, so that's probably what started the argument that we saw when he was talking about cards. You know, he says you have no cards, and you know, Zelensky knew and did not, and held him close to his chest. Yeah, he had a big one.
He had cards.
Yeah. So and
even Trump came out and had to admit that Zelensky looks strong. Because he kicked the crap out of Russia. So,
all right, well, we'll move on to the next one. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. For our second topic, I heard this on NPR this week. Trump came out with an executive order ending birthright citizenship, which simply means if you're an illegal immigrant in this country, or we're now having tourists coming over here whose wives are 8.5 months pregnant, just to have the baby born in the United States, because that baby automatically becomes a U.S. citizen. Trump said no go, no birthright citizenship, and it's in front of the Supreme Court right now. And they forgot one thing. There's women on the Supreme Court. And they asked the question, what are we supposed to do with this baby? Let's just say I have two illegal immigrants who are here working. They're legal people, or I should say they're not criminals. They're working, and the wife gets pregnant and has a baby. Are we supposed to take that baby away from them and say, you're not a citizen, your country is Mexico, and deport all three? And Trump's lawyer argued to the Supreme Court, yes. And all of a sudden they went, we got to stop and think about this one.
Well, they also have to think in terms of, can you overturn the 14th Amendment and this prior Supreme Court decision by executive order? Because,
I want to bring up one other thing, too. I work with a woman who's Hispanic. She doesn't know whether her father came here legally or not. She's in her late 30s, professional in the business community here. So the question that Trump's administration is trying to say is, if your father came here illegally and you were born here, that makes you an illegal. We're going to have to deport you also.
Right.
If she was born and raised in America, spent her whole life here. Are they going to deport her back to Mexico?
Well, basically, that what they're saying, too, is even if you're here legally, you're not a citizen. You know, I mean, they're right. And so, but it's, again, I encourage people to look up the case United States versus Wong Kim Ark. This was decided in 1898. San Francisco guy. He was born to two parents from Mongolia. There was no such thing as legal or illegal immigration at the time he was born. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't anything. They were here to work on, I believe, the railroads. And he left the country and tried to come back in. They tried to bar him, saying he was based on the Chinese Exclusion Act. He said, I'm a citizen based on the 14th Amendment. And he prevailed all the way to the Supreme Court. This was not a radical liberal Supreme Court. It was pretty conservative, even for the time. And they said there is no exceptions other, you know, the context we've talked about it on this show, the context of the 14th Amendment was the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which recognized three exceptions. The Native Americans that were subject to a sovereign tribe doesn't exist anymore because the 1924 American Indian Citizenship Act. And if you're part of a diplomatic corps, if your parents were diplomatic corps people or an invading army, those are the exceptions. There's no exceptions for immigrants, illegal or otherwise. And if Clarence Thomas is true to his extreme, doctrine that you stick to the language and the concepts of the time. For instance, he believes that cruel and unusual of the Eighth Amendment should be defined by what was considered cruel and unusual when it was written. So, for instance, we should still be able to publicly display people in stocks, you know, as a punishment, because that was okay then.
That, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And so he says that the fact that there was no such thing as illegal immigration until the Chinese Exclusion Act, a couple of decades after the 14th Amendment passed, he should be consistent and say there was no such thing as illegal immigration. So it could not have been a concept. People came and went at will across the Mexican and Canadian border. They lived on one side, then the other side. And so there was no such thing. So that's before the Supreme Court. Now, I don't know if this is in conjunction with the executive order, where they're trying to argue also that, you know, an executive order can't be go beyond the district, a temporary injunction can't go beyond the district because that's already been in the Supreme Court. But it sounded like Amy Coney Barrett is not leaning towards overturning the 14th Amendment with an executive, certainly not with an executive order. If you want to get rid of birthright citizenship, you need a constitutional amendment that requires ratification by 3/4 of the states and then a vote of 2/3 of Congress. That's what you need. That, you know, that's how you can do it.
It'll never happen.
You can't do it by executive order. But, you know, and Trump also falsely argues that we're the only country in the world with birthright citizenship, not even close. There's like about 30 countries, you know, which is like 1/6 of the countries. It's fascinating that it's there, but I just don't see it. I don't think Roberts is going to vote for it. And it sounds like Amy Coney Barrett won't. And I'm not sure Kavanaugh will. And if he's consistent, and I'm not saying he owes anything to consistency, Clarence Thomas shouldn't, if he is, you know, in terms of the originalist extremist that he is.
Right. We'll see what happens there. But it's interesting to hear these things as the attorneys are arguing in front of the Supreme Court.
It is. And, you know, again, the radical nature of this too, because people like Roberts think of practical applications. I know that people like Thomas don't. They say, hey, it's just what the law says. We don't care about the practical implications. But people like Roberts do. Right? There are certain types of conservatives who think in terms of, wow, what is this going to cause? The Burkean conservatives, Edmund Burke, you've got to think in terms of how it's going to affect the body politic and the institutions. And that means that millions, tens of millions of people who have been deemed citizens for decades, for a century, will all of a sudden not be citizens, and their children.
What if they keep going back a generation?
Yeah.
Saying your grandparents came over illegally and they've had two generations of family, so all three generations need to be deported. That's insane.
Yeah, and is it only if both parents are here, or is it just one? My grandfather was an illegal alien. He came from Denmark. He was on a ship, worked as a shipman. He liked San Francisco. He decided to jump ship, literally jump ship, swam over to where Fort Point was and stayed in America, conned my grandmother into marrying him and stayed.
So Eric, is that knocking on the door, ICE coming after you?
Yeah, right. I know.
You just admitted you're an illegal immigrant.
Yeah. I mean, this is all, you know, they are just looking. And by the way, they, you know, when you hear from MAGA, oh, do it the right way, do it the legal way. There were, when Trump came into office, there were 1,400 in Northern California. There were 1,400 people scheduled to become citizens. I know this because one of them is a personal friend. He's from Ireland, by the way, and or he was born in Ireland. He spent the last 50 years here in America. Was adopted by two American people. His and 1,400 people, all of them were canceled, so they can scrutinize the records to see if there's any way they can deny it. They don't want new citizens in here. They don't want there is an agenda, what they call replacement ideology, right? Agenda.
Your friend will be okay. He's white.
He's okay, but he's Irish.
He's out of there.
Yeah. He's no, but they, I mean, it's stupid. They're actually bringing up real minor points to cause problems. At minimum, he's going to have to spend money on an attorney, and a judge, an immigration judge, is going to throw out their concerns because it's ridiculous, because it's discretion. But, you know, what they're bringing up is when he was 19 years old, he stole a pack of cigarettes and then was out on a diversion. And he is now in his 50s. And so basically they can cause a problem for him. But the judge has the discretion to not consider that because it was taken off the record. And the judge will exercise that discretion. But they're just doing it to waste everybody's time. I mean, literally, they're doing this, you know, and it's why they can't deport as many people. Why Trump is angry that he can't deport as many people, because they're clogging up the courts with all of this stupid stuff.
With that due process thing, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to have a judge say, okay, you're here illegally. You did these bad things while you're here. You're gone. Bye.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about that in the next segment a little. Well, no, maybe I'll talk a little bit about it, because we've got so much to talk about in the next segment. But because, you know, when Steve Miller is yelling at his people saying, why aren't you going to Home Depot? And then literally the next week they go to Home Depot. I mean, you know, and then they turn around and say, well, you know, we're primarily after sex traffickers and drug dealers. Yeah, because a lot of sex traffickers and drug dealers, their day jobs are at Home Depot, right? I mean, that's, you know, that happens all the time.
And the woman they arrested for selling fruit on the corner.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely don't want it. They basically want Norwegians, like there are a whole lot of Norwegians interested in moving here, right? And white South Africans.
I was going to say white South Africans.
Yeah, I mean,
not South Africans, but white South Africans.
And there are a bunch of prominent MAGA people who are basically saying we need to put a moratorium on third world immigration.
Well, they just said that with a travel ban again.
Right. Yeah. And what do you mean when you say third world? What's that code for? I mean,
third world countries.
Yeah, exactly. They're
basically brown and black countries.
Yep. I mean, that's right. You know, it's just, but, you know, you say they're okay. You're okay if they're white, but they're even harassing Canadians and Germans and Irish people now. So it's just,
Well, two things are happening. Our ports have slowed down as we're not importing what we used to.
Right.
Word is our import ships, the ocean vessels, are down 75%. And tourism is down, international tourists.
Way.
Down huge.
Yeah. I encourage people to look up, I believe, Honolulu Airport. Australian woman came in. She's the wife of a serviceman, an American serviceman. And she was, because she had tattoos on and because she apparently had too many clothes in her suitcase, which meant that she was going to outlive her stay, they decided to hassle her. They strip searched her, did body cavity search, and sent her to prison for the night, and then deported her. And laughed at her when she said that she was married to an American serviceman. A likely story, you know, blah blah blah. And she's not coming back. She basically says that her husband's going to have to make a choice about where he wants to live because she's not coming back. I mean, you know, that's and that's a profound statement. It's just, tourism is down. And I'm aware of a woman in, who has a bed and breakfast in Shelter Cove who had a British couple cancel their trip saying they just don't want to take a chance of coming to the United States. They don't want to be hassled at the port of entry.
So we have some, Hawaii timeshares that we lease out on Airbnb. And same, a Canadian woman was going to do it. And we got down to the final thing. And she says, I can't risk coming to the U.S. I just don't trust it.
No,
People from Canada and Australia say this, let alone people from brown or black countries say this.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Well, you know, and getting back to the birthright citizenship again, I mean, you know, it's the big concern here that they don't want to talk about is that it's led to a big increase in Latino voters. And, you know, they've actually, the Republicans have made inroads in Latino voters. They're culturally conservative, a lot of them. They could actually do it. The only thing that's really holding them back is racism, is blatant racism. If they could can the racism, they would actually, if they could just, you know, kick the racists out of their place, they would actually have a net gain of voters because there would be a lot of Latino voters. There are voters who are pro-gun rights, anti-abortion, and the like, but they've been voting for Democrats because of the racism. That's all they have to do. Right now, the Cuban American groups and one of the Republican congresswomen are all upset because of the way Cubans are being treated right now. No president has ever sent Cubans back to Cuba, for crying out loud. That would have been like in East Germany, sending East Germans back over the wall that escaped. You know, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. I thought it was weird that they were doing it to Venezuelans. You know, I always thought there used to be a double standard, right? That we'd be fine with that, but we didn't acknowledge, you know, Reagan used to acknowledge it for Nicaragua and Cuba, but not for El Salvador and Guatemala. I called it a double standard. No double standard with Trump. He just says, if you're brown, forget it.
Do you ever listen to yourself talk and say, that just doesn't sound like an American thing? You may be a great person, but I'm sorry, you got brown skin. We're out of here. Bye. That's crazy.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. For our third segment, we're going to be talking about the Posse Comitatus Act, which is an 1878 law that said the U.S. cannot use the United States military on American soil. It's happened, the last time it happened was in 1965. LBJ brought the National Guard down to Alabama because when they're going to do a march across the bridge, the local law enforcement there was going to beat all the people up. So they brought in the National Guard just for protection, and it worked. The other times this happened is when Trump brought in the National Guard to California, down to Los Angeles, and then he supplemented that with 700 Marines. Times before it happened was the 1993 Rodney King riots, but are then
this that was the governor who called it
Republican
though.
Governor,
yeah,
asked the National Guard to come in, yeah. And then the They brought in, I saw tanks on the streets of Wilshire Boulevard then. It was insane.
Yeah. Same thing in California with the protests in Berkeley. Reagan called them in, and same thing with Kent State. They were called in by the governors. The governors can do it. Right, but for the president to do it, it can only happen in two cases, an invasion, foreign invasion, or an insurrection.
You seem to be confused again, Eric. There is a current foreign invasion going on in L.A.
Right.
Yeah. It's called Hispanics, and yeah. They don't like that. So,
right. In fact, some idiot in Congress said, well, they're flying Mexican flags. Doesn't that make it an invasion?
Although, you know, I know it doesn't, but it doesn't look good because
it doesn't. I wish they would be more strategic, although I have seen American flags there too, and California
great.
Flags.
American yeah. flags is great. Yeah. But when they're flying Mexican flags and
Palestine flags, it's a mistake.
You have to understand this thing is right now is it's for the hearts and souls of the Midwest and the South.
I mean, their whole point is that this was Mexico before it was California or before it was America. And I get it. But people on TV aren't going to get that.
Right.
Yeah, they don't get that point.
And nor am I going to go to any public meeting where we have to give our praise to Mexico because we stole their land.
Right.
If I have to hear one more of those land things, I'm just gonna lose my mind.
It's just not you got to be strategic. But if you're strategic, you would also have organized demonstrations, monitors, and everything. And right now it's not there. But then we didn't know what was going to happen. These demonstrations, and I want to talk a bit about. We'll get back into the act and into the reaction. But they started as a reaction. To extreme ICE methods. It's not just ICE going to make an arrest. They've been making these arrests for the past few months. Actually, they've been making these arrests for years, under Biden, you know, I mean, and the rest. But what they did was they went in with military fatigues, attack drones, and all kinds of things that, like, it was an invasion of the neighborhood, as we talked about, going into Home Depot and going into places. And it just made people think, what is going on? It just drew a huge reaction, possibly by design, you know, that maybe this was intended to do this. Right. I mean, and because Trump, as late as last October during the campaign, was talking about the enemy within. The enemy within is famous as a McCarthy line. And of course, Rory Cohn, McCarthy's hatchetman, was his favorite attorney. So he goes right there, the enemy within, and he pledged to use military troops to put down demonstrations in urban areas. And not just the National Guard, apparently, because he's brought in the Marines who do have maybe some training in crowd control.
Zero.
Oh, no, okay.
Their training is to kill. That's what the Marines are trained to do. They're trained to kill enemy combatants. That's the only thing Marines are trained for.
All right, I was told that maybe they had some, but you know, National Guard have some,
but
and it's just, but it's, and you know, and I have to say, I was really impressed on the weekend when a group of demonstrators, having been pushed away from the building, went down and occupied half of the freeway. And I watched it in live time, and I watched how the CHP handled it. And it was they were slow and deliberate, and they did a slow march, and a few people were arrested. They basically arrested the hotheads, the people that were acting up. And I don't even think they pressed charges. I think they basically – they may press charges for the few of them. But as an expert was explaining on the one I was watching, they're detaining the animated ones. They probably arrested them and just released them later, but they wanted to keep it from being hot, and they just slowly pushed them off. And nobody was hurt, at least not seriously. And they handled it. They were trained. It was disciplined. Even when things were thrown at them, like when one of the demonstrators picked up a canister and threw it back at them, they didn't react. Right? I mean, it was just, you know, they
keep being good.
What's that? Yeah, no, because they know what they're doing. They've been through this. They've seen it. They've been through protests. You know, the Palestinian ones, the other, the Rodney King ones. They know what they're doing. They've drilled this a million times. They know what they're doing. And you know, it's just and And the same with the LAPD. Now they say, well, why aren't they stopping it? It's like, you can't stop everything. It's just not possible.
They did hit LA with curfews.
Right.
LA has curfews.
And it's a 1 mile by a square mile area. You know, it's
to get the hotheads out of there.
Right. You get it and you protect the businesses. And they're saying, well, you know, the protesters are looting. First of all, I don't think the protesters were doing the looting. I think those are opportunists, you know,
right,
who see the chaos. Problem,
it's optics again, Eric. The one store that got looted, that's going to hit every media in the Midwest and the South. Look what happens when Democratic governors take over. The people go crazy and they loot.
It is, but I'm not sure it's selling. I'm not sure it's selling this time, because I think that the one thing that Governor Newsom and Mayor Bass have done is they've gotten out in front of this.
Right. They have.
They have really well. And in fact, when Homan said, hey, if they get in my way, they'll be arrested too. And the governor said, go ahead and arrest me, tough guy. He literally said tough guy. And said, you know, see where that gets you. And Homan said, well, no, I don't plan to arrest you. No. And backed off, even though Trump is like saying, go ahead and arrest him, Tom. You know, it's just, and it's not going to happen. He knows he can't do that.
So, I mean, a little fact is, I'm a member of the Tournament of Roses. That's the volunteer group in Pasadena that puts on the Rose Parade and the Rose Bowl game. My 24th parade's coming up. And every year, if you're in law enforcement anywhere in Los Angeles County, between the Pasadena Police, CHP, Los Angeles County Sheriffs, they all descend upon Pasadena for crowd control. Like you said, they know what they're doing. This isn't our first rodeo. Actually, they got FBI guys and windbreakers who are up at snipers just up there to look for any bad guys doing stupid stuff. So they've been doing this for 100 years. They know what they're doing. For the most part, the crowd's going to keep under control. But they, like you said, they want to keep any crazy hotheads from doing anything stupid.
Yeah.
And they know what they're doing. And in LA, it's been the LAPD, the LA County Sheriffs, and the Highway Patrol who have this thing under control. So they brought in 2,000 National Guards, then another 2,000 National Guards, and then 700 Marines. There's just one problem with this. They have no place for all these young soldiers to sleep. They're literally sleeping on floors, literally sleeping on each other. They're stacked up like lumber. No. It's crazy.
Yeah, they weren't. No, there was no plan. There was no plan.
They have no place for these guys to shower and shave.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not, the food is MREs, meals ready to eat. They're cold boxes.
He wanted to send them in there. And, you know, you compare this. First of all, you know, if there was any argument for an insurrection, it was back in 1965, I think it was the Watts riot. I mean, there were 1,000 incidents of arson. 35 people ended up killed because the National Guard were using live ammunition. I mean, it was horrible. That was probably one of the worst things in our life. This is nothing compared to that. And as somebody said, there have been Super Bowl parties that have caused more damage than this. I don't want to make light of it because there has been damages. 5 robot cars got burned on Sunday. But I want to point out what the governor has pointed out is that a lot of the stuff that happened on Sunday may not have happened if Trump didn't escalate it. Things got more intense after he ordered the National Guard there. It was almost like Trump is daring people to do stupid stuff.
I looked up the First Amendment today. It gives us the right of the people to peacefully assemble. If you're going out and doing a peaceful protest, I'm behind you 100%.
Yeah.
The moment you start burning cars and throwing bricks at cops, you lost me.
The same
problem we had in the George Floyd riots when they started burning the cities. I'm looking, I'm going, what are you people doing?
But if you watched the footage closely, see how many people are actually involved in those actions.
I know, but there's you're saying, a handful of people make it bad for the other 99%.
There is on YouTube an incident where you can find. There were a couple of people, MAGA people, who were kind of dumb, I think. They came and started arguing with the crowd, and they said some inflammatory things. And one of them gets followed, and then he got really stupid and brandished a knife, okay? And that made it, and so some of them were, but most of the crowd is saying, just let them go. No violence, just let them go. Unfortunately, a few people got really agitated when they saw the knife and started shoving him. And you see that most of the crowd is trying to convince those few to stop doing it. And then when the police came, and separated them. They just had to deal with those few and separate them, and as everybody else backed off. I mean, it was, you know, it was definitely there, but it would be good if, you know, when I've been involved in organizing, I haven't done it since the 80s and actually early 90s, but when I was involved in organizing protests ahead of time, of course, this is all pretty spontaneous. We had people be monitors to watch to see if anybody is doing stuff. And then you get there and you don't, you don't try to act like a bar, person, right. What do you call bouncer. Them? Bouncer and grab them or anything like that. You try to calm them down. You're trained in de-escalating until the police can come and deal with it. Right. So, and so they need to have that. They need to have people there to keep that. But this all happened over the course of a few days. They need to get people in there. They need to have nonviolence trainings and have people that are present and the rest. And it's probably going to happen, but it needs to happen now. Like yesterday,
Peter Coyote, the actor, said exactly what you're saying. He says we need professional protest training. We need to have people in yellow and orange vests with whistles and tell people this is think Gandhi. This is nonviolent, peaceful protest. Do not throw rocks. Do not throw bricks. Don't get in confrontations with them. And I said this story, if anything, bring a flower up there, bring a white rose and say, this is my weapon, a white rose.
Although don't put it in the gun barrel. I've always considered that to have been aggressive action, but
I thought that was nice back in the 60s.
I don't know. I think it's you're humiliating the soldiers, that's my thing. I mean, levitate the Pentagon, you want.
The whole point is, are you going to shoot unarmed civilians?
You're not. They're not going to do it. I mean, and what happened in Kent State is the four people who were killed weren't even aggressive. Two of them were on their way to class, right? They weren't even part of the protest. That's what happens is the people, I was in a protest one time and there was a crowd and there was, we're being up against the barricades and the police. And I noted, and there was a very provocative group called the Revolutionary Communist Party. They're a group of Maoists that are known for being provocative. And I noticed they were at the back pushing. They were at the back. You know, if you want to be provocative, you should be at the front, right? And as soon as anything flared up, they were out of there, right? And so who gets hurt are the people who aren't really, thinking about it, and are caught in the middle. I mean, it's a situation, but that's why we need to have as many people learning about it, how to de-escalate. That's the thing. And I, after years, because during the 60s, the police were not trained in de-escalation. Even in the 80s in San Francisco, they had a hard time with it, but they have been since. And what I saw, I encourage people to go and look up the 101 occupation and the thing. It takes about an hour or so, maybe even 2 hours for it to happen. They're patient. They're slow. They do it. Look it up. It was methodical. And most of the demonstrators were just fine. You know, they went down there. They made their point. I think it's kind of dangerous. I wouldn't do it just for practical reasons. If I'm afraid I'm going to get hit because some idiot, doesn't see what's happening at the time, right? But it's just, I was impressed. It was, again, you've got to be de-escalating that, and the police are trained to do that. Be calm. And if somebody's animated, yes, you arrest them, you take them, don't react. And that's what monitors need to learn to do. There's so much to talk about here, but I'm worried. I think the Marines are disciplined. I don't think they'll start anything, but I'm thinking Trump is hoping that will happen.
Keep in mind, I heard an officer being interviewed who used to be with this Marine outfit out of Camp Pendleton. He said, most of these kids are 18 to 21 years old.
Yeah.
If you hit 25 in the Marine Corps, you're an old man, 25. Yeah. Most of these kids are literally, they're that young and they go in for 3 years at 18. So at 18, you're thinking, do they have the mental capacity to say, I'm trying to de-escalate this situation, or these effers over there are cursing at me and throwing rocks at me.
Yeah.
And then all it takes is one shot.
Yeah.
Things go south.
Right. Like Kent State or like Jackson State.
And these Marines are not trained for crowd control, unlike the LAPD, the LA County Sheriffs, and the Highway Patrol, who've been trained for this.
Yeah.
The whole thing. So the one thing I was going to ask, Eric, this weekend there's planned over 1,600 No Kings in America protests, including one here in Eureka. Are you going to that?
I'm actually going to be in the Bay Area. I'll be attending one either in Marin County or San Francisco.
Well, I'm going to be in Oyster Fest and an Arcata Plaza with 10,000 of my closest friends. But I'll be thinking of it. Maybe I'll stop there on the way back or maybe stop there on the way over.
Yeah. I mean, the Oyster Fest has probably more fights than the stuff will do once they start drinking. So
it's amazing. When someone's had eight beers, man, they just lose control.
I'm curious as to whether there's going to be a protest of the military parade in D.C. because Trump has threatened violence against protesters, not even against rioters, but against protesters.
That's my concern. What if he sends the National Guard to Eureka?
I don't think we're high on his priority right now. We haven't even gotten visits from ICE in a long time. So we're out of the way. But I'm not saying never. I'm just saying I don't think we're in the priority. I think there are a lot of cities. There's supposed to be hundreds of these across the country.
1,600 so far, last I heard.
But I'm concerned about people, and I know there are going to be people who go there to protest the military parade, and I'm concerned
because Trump is
threatening to be violent with them for protesting, not for rioting, for protesting. And
you heard they had the same problem in D.C. 6,000 troops are sent there. They had no place for them to sleep, shower, or shave. No one thought this thing out. I mean, they had a year to plan this, and no one thought about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a scary moment. I mean, you know, so somebody pointed out, right, like half of our tanks are going to Washington, D.C. right now.
You know, 24 M1A1 Abrams tanks will be going down Independence Avenue. I don't know why.
Because third world type dictators like to have military parades. Eisenhower said, if you're not a dictator, he said he was totally against military parades of any kind. You know, he was a general.
They made some accessions post-World War II to help the servicemen out. And unfortunately, the Vietnam veterans got screwed over when they got back.
Yeah, but having a parade for veterans is different from a military parade where you're showing off your weaponry.
After the war ends, like World War One, actually, they did it after the Civil War, World War One, World War Two, the Korean War, not the Vietnam War.
Well, this brings us to our predictions. What do you got, Matt?
I'm going to predict that democracy is going to prevail over our autocratic king, that there's going to be some pushback from this stupid military parade. And hopefully there's more than 1,600 of these No Kings in America, but over 2,000 of these protests planned across America. And the people are slowly going to rise up and say, we're done with an autocratic king. That's my prediction.
Well, I'm a little concerned because we do have these, as you say, 2,000 protests across the country. The organizers decided not to do one in Washington, D.C. because they don't want to give oxygen to the parade itself.
Right.
But that means there's going to be spontaneous ones. And Trump has threatened violence. I am concerned and I predict that there is going to be some violence because this is not going to be organized protests. And I think that the organizers made a mistake of not having an organized one with the monitors and all that we were talking about. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I come back and say, okay, there were protests and they just happened and everybody ignored them or whatnot.
But I'm
afraid I might be right on that. We'll find out. Until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.
Thank you.